Greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is His love, is the love that we have been talking about this morning. It is the love to get excited about. And as we were doing that memory this morning, and I was just thinking about the words of that, the words of the prophet Isaiah. And it gripped me that the prophet Isaiah, as well as Jeremiah and many of the other prophets, so vividly express their vision of Christ. And it gripped me that perhaps even though it was they were before Christ ever walked on this earth as a man, that perhaps their vision was greater than my own. Perhaps they have seen Christ and the love that He had for us in giving His life. I think many times they saw more. They saw more clearly than I see myself, even though I have the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those historic accounts. And that gripped me this morning. What does that say about their love for God and what God revealed to them? And what does that say about my love for God? How shallow it is at times. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for this time of worship that we can gather together with the body of Christ, this local church and body. I just pray that you would bless our time here together, our fellowship, make it sweet. I pray, Father, that we could continue to understand and to perceive the love that you have for us, the love that we heard about this morning in the devotional, the love we heard about from the prophet Isaiah in our memory work. Lord, I just pray that you would grip our hearts. Lord, help us to realize in our short lives how much we need you. You're the only one that has the answers for us. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, I've just been thinking, pondering the past while, some time, thinking about my life, thinking about things that I remember. You know, I can so clearly remember growing up as a young boy on a farm, and just a few miles from here, growing up, and I can remember some things like yesterday. I can remember throwing my fishing line into the pond and pulling out largemouth bass, and it just seems like it was last summer. I grew up, and I can remember memories of my teenage years as though it was yesterday. And the day came almost 10 years ago now that I got married. And I can remember as if it was yesterday, Brother James bringing my lovely wife down the aisle. 10 years. That's almost a third of my life so far. But it's so clear. Time has moved so quickly. I remember when our first child was born, over 7 years ago. 7 years ago. I can't believe it. I remember hearing her cry for the first time. Time has moved fast. And yesterday, my wife came to me, or maybe it was the day before, but it was yesterday that she said, you know, this little fella, your last child, he's 6 months old now. 6 months. No way. 6 months have flown past so quickly. It just seems like it was yesterday or a few hours ago that I was rushing to the midwife hoping we would make it in time. Time moves so quickly. Our lives move by so quickly. I'd like to talk this morning about the brevity of life, the shortness of this life. I'd like to call our attention to a song that's in our hymn book this morning, number 952. We've sung this fairly often, I believe. We know it well. Muse, O life, my soul, set thy heart now to ponder. And this song has made an impact on me over the past years since it was written. And I think the main reason why it had stuck out to me so much was because I know Brother John D., and I also know his son Jeffrey, who wrote the tune. And Jeffrey, as I think probably most of us know, I knew him fairly well. We weren't close friends, but we knew each other. We knew each other's names. We met from time to time. We spent some time together at Shepherdsburg Bible School and things like that. And Jeffrey was a young man that struggled just like many young people struggle. And he, at times, I think that he followed his fleshly desires. But then I think there was also times that he was serving the Lord. But he struggled. He was a very normal youth. And the day came that I heard that night that terrible news that Jeffrey was going down the road, Route 30, somewhere out there around McConnellsburg in that area, going around a curve and hit a patch of ice and ended up meeting a truck head on. And that quickly, Jeffrey's life was taken. That I think was late 2006 or early 2007, somewhere in there. I'm not exactly sure on the date. Already some time ago. Brother John D., of course, grieved over the loss of his son. It seems as though he may have been ready to meet the Lord at that time. But there, 2 weeks prior, I think it was 2 weeks prior to his passing away, he had given a devotional in church that he titled Time. And he shared a number of things there, and there was a lady, I believe, in the audience that took some good notes and later on shared them with the grieving father. And also, somewhere during that time, someone shared a piece of music with John D. that Jeffrey had composed. that John Dee, I don't believe, knew about to that time period. Jeffrey was a very avid musician. It was nothing for him to just write out a tune. And so it wasn't a real big surprise that there was music that his father didn't even know about. But John Dee took this tune and took those notes and the thoughts that Jeffrey had given in that meditation and penned the words to this song. And you'll notice that the words reflect, especially verse 1 and 2, reflect directly from passages in Scripture, and we would like to look at some of those this morning. For now, I'd like to just, if we could just sing this song, number 952, Muse O' My Soul. You're welcome to stand.
Muse, all my soul, set thy heart now to ponder thy narrow span of time. Look to thy end, eternity yonder, speak to thee.
Be seated. If you want to, you can keep your songbooks open there to number 952, as it is convenient. Muse, O my soul. You can turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. That word muse that this song starts with, I think most of us know what it means, but we don't use it very often. Muse. And if you were to look it up in the dictionary, it means to become absorbed in thought. And especially to think about something very carefully, very deeply. Muse. We're more familiar with the amuse. That means more the opposite. Amuse, to put the mind in neutral and to be entertained, to be simply amused, daydream, or amused by entertainment of sort. We're used to that word. But muse, being absorbed in thought and to think carefully. Psalm 39, I'd like to read the entire psalm. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. This is the psalmist David speaking. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukest, dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover my strength before I go hence and be no more. So at the beginning of the psalm, we see a resolve. David resolves that he would not speak when he's present with the wicked. And it's clear what his motive is, and his motive is that he would not sin with his words. But as he held his tongue and as he held back those words, there was a fire that burned within him. And I don't know fully what was all going on here. But it says, while he mused, while he thought deeply, while he was thinking hard, while he was pondering, the fire burned hot. And David found himself struggling to remain quiet. Now, maybe it was because of the desire to defend God against the wicked. Maybe that's what it was. Or to hold the wicked responsible. You know, in a lot of the Psalms, David does. He breaks out, he lashes out against those that are unjust and the wicked, and brings condemnation on them. And so maybe Maybe that's what was burning in David's heart a bit, but it seems like maybe this is a little different this time. It seems like the struggle that David is facing and what's burning within him is the struggle in his own flesh. Because when finally he can no longer hold his tongue, what comes out? But he expresses his own weakness. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. That's what comes out. So it seems like he's struggling with his own carnality. He says, show me, God. Show me how short life is. And verse 5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. A handbreadth. That's all. You know, many of their measurements went by natural measurements. You know, a cubit from elbow to fingers. And there was other measurements that were natural. I can't think of some of the others right now, but a handbreadth was one of those smaller ones. And David's using a form of measurement, like we would say an inch or maybe a half an inch, just a small measurement, saying, my life is but a handbreadth. My life is but an inch. It's just across the palm of my hand. Psalms 103 says that, verse 15 of Psalms 103 says that, as for man, his days are as grass. And as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. As a handbreadth, and as a flower that comes up in the spring. You know, we saw this this spring. All those beautiful colors. We had maybe a little bit longer of a spring this year. Those flowers were maybe able to last a little bit longer. I don't know. It would seem that they could. They came up, and as the conditions were right, they flourished. Those flowers bloomed, and it was beautiful. But all so quickly, the hot summer comes, and the wind comes, and they're gone. And there's no spring flowers to be seen. Even now, there's flowers coming into bloom, and it's but a short time, and they're gone. As the grass out there in the meadow, and the mower comes along and mows it off, and sometime later you can't tell that there was taller grass there. As a handbreadth, as a flower of the field. Psalm 90, Moses, it's the psalm of Moses. He says that we spend our years as a tale that is told. We live our lives and it's like a story. We heard a story in children's lesson this morning. How long did it last? Not very long. It's like our life. a tale that is told. In James 4, it says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I thought of the morning that you young people traveled up to the PA Grand Canyon, up into Tioga State Forest there. Leonard Harrison. And that morning as I had gotten up, we were already up there and headed out, it was foggy. And then all we had to do was start climbing the mountain a little ways, and it was sunshiny, And all over in the valley was this fog, this mist that was down low. How long did it last? Not very long at all. And it was gone. How about when the teapot sits on the stove and whistles and that steam comes out and it rises and you can see it rising and then it vanishes? That is our life. It is but a vapor. No one knows how long our life will be. God does. But even a long life, I don't know, 90 years old, that sounds like a long life to me. 100 years old is definitely a long time. Even a long life is short. You know, Moses said his life is like a tale that is told. Moses lived to be 120. I think I have that correct. And his life was like a tale that is told. Even a long life is short in light of eternity. See, God created man in his image. And he created Adam out of the dust, formed him with his hands, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's beautiful. God breathed into us and gave us a living soul. That's different than the animals. He also gave them breath. He gave them life. But it is purely physical. When it's over, it's done. But for us, it's different. We were made in the image of God. And like God, we are eternal. Our souls never die. That's one of the ways we have been made in the image of God, is that we possess a soul that will live for eternity. What is eternity? Something I think we try and grasp often, and yet we know we fall short. What is eternity? It goes on and on forever. Time is inside of eternity. And just like space, we have no idea. God created space infinitely. As we know it, such is eternity. There is no beginning and no end. And what we do in this short lifespan, this short handbreadth, this little blooming flower that blooms for the spring, this tale that is told, and this vapor that so quickly vanishes, what we do in this short amount of time makes all the difference in eternity. Paul said, if the dead rise not, he was talking to the Corinthians about, writing to the Corinthians about the resurrection. And he said, if there is no resurrection, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's no resurrection, we might as well live it up and have fun while we can. But that's not the truth. There is a resurrection. But so many today convince themselves that God does not exist, or if God does exist, that he's not going to hold them accountable for eternity. And so they can live with that philosophy. Live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Life will soon be over, so let's have fun while we can. The Bible calls that a fool. We, on the other hand, should be thinking soberly. We should be musing, thinking deeply about life in light of eternity. And we, like David, should be saying, Oh God, Oh Lord, Show me the measure of my days. Show me how frail I am. Show me how short my life is. I'd like to read just the first verse of the song we sang, 952. Muse, O my soul, set thy heart now to ponder thy narrow span of time. Look to thy end, let eternity yonder speak to thee in thy prime. Wake from thy sleep, lo, far spent is the night. Truly the day is now at hand. Cast off thy darkness, be armored with light. Give all thy heart to understand. We have some rephrasing of Romans chapter 13. You may turn there. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It says, be not unwise, know the will of the Lord, filled with the Spirit ceaselessly. Speak forth in song all the indwelling word, and in thy heart. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong verse. I meant, wake from thy sleep, lo, far spent is the night. Truly the day is now at hand. Cast off the darkness, be armored with light. Give all thy heart to understand. You see how these words of this song have been penned directly from, taken from Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Knowing the time, Paul wrote, knowing the time. How do we know the time? Is it by being amused? Is it by living life haphazardly? Is it by being careless? How do we know what time it is? It's by musing. It's by meditation. It is by taking heed. It is by thinking seriously, looking at life. And when we do that, and when we understand, we realize that it is time to walk, as Paul says, honestly, as in the day. In the open, in the light. If you still have your Bible open there at Romans 13, it says in verse 12, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And I'd like to parallel that then with verse 14. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us put on the armor of light and be put on, in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of light and the Lord Jesus Christ are synonymous. It's the same thing. Make no provision for the flesh. Verse 12 says, cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness. Make no provision for the flesh. That word provision in the Greek means forethought. No forethought. Stop thinking about the lustful desires that so often get you entangled. These things that lurk in our minds because we live in this body of flesh. We need to take our thoughts into captivity and refuse to think and have forethought of sin, of the flesh. Why? Why is it so important? Because life is short. Because life is but a vapor. It is but a handbreadth. You can turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I would like to, before we read there, I would like to read verse 2 of the song we sang. See then, my soul, that ye walk circumspectly, let not the fool hold sway. Buy up the time, judge the moment correctly, shun well the evil day. Be not unwise, know the will of the Lord, filled with the Spirit ceaselessly. Speak forth in song all the indwelling word, and in thy heart make melody. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read starting at verse 15. And you'll see these words, some of the exact same words. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buy up the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking for yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that ye walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? It means diligent. Diligently. If we do something diligently, we're serious about it. We do it to the best of our ability. Not as fools, but as wise. And we have been blessed in our Bible studies, the last well, looking into the book of Proverbs, comparing the wise and the fool. The wise son, the foolish, the slothful and the diligent, and all those things all through Proverbs that we observe. Not as fools, but as wise. Be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Are you asking God, God, what is your will for my life? What is your will for the things that I am facing today? What is your will of how I should respond in this matter that I am facing? What is your will in the decisions that I have to make today? If you're not, that's what it means to be diligent, to find out, be wise, and understand what the will of the Lord is. And as we muse and as we ponder and we realize the shortness of our life, God shows us, and if we are diligent, we put it to practice. We take it to heart. The wise will take it to heart. Be filled with the Spirit. And sing songs. course, I enjoy singing, but you know, no matter what your musical inclination is this morning, God's desire is that you would be inspired to sing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing music that brings glory and praise to Him and adoration out of a heart that loves Him. Singing and musing can go well together. There's thinking that happens. And yes, I admit that many times because I enjoy music, I am focused on the music of a song. And the words can tend to run past me. But it's good to discipline ourselves for that music and for those words. Singing to each other and teaching one another, not with light music, but the music of the people of God. Let's turn to Psalm 90. This is the psalm I referred to earlier, the Psalm of Moses. This often gets read at funerals. At least that's when I have often heard it read. And it's good for us to consider at any time the shortness of life, not only when someone passes away. Psalm 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If we can take that message to heart this morning, that is what God has called us to. And if we are diligent, if we apply our hearts to wisdom and we are diligent, we can say with that song, with Moses in the verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. He will establish our work. It will make our lives effective. Let's muse and let us think about the shortness and the brevity of life often. Verse 3 of Muse, O My Soul. Time will not linger. Refuse all delusion. Few are thy days at best. Act, lest thy aims all be brought to confusion. Quickly pursue thy quest. God thy devotion alone doth deserve. Yield to his kingdom all thy days. He from destruction thy works will preserve and crown with glory all thy ways. That is the reward for the diligent, for the ones that muse and take wisdom to heart. In closing, I would just like to sing it one more time. Would you stand with me and sing number 952? Sing forth in song all the indwelling word and make melody in our hearts. 952.
Muse, O my soul, set thy heart now to ponder thy narrow span of time.
God add his blessing. You may be seated.